हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 47, chapter 87, canto 10. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, the personified Vedas continued by saying that the super soul and the individual soul, or Paramatma and Jivatma, cannot be equal in any circumstance, although both of them sit within the same body, like two birds sitting in the same tree. As declared in the Vedas, these two birds, although sitting as friends, are not equal. One is simply a witness. This bird is Paramatma, or the Supersoul, and the other bird is eating the fruit of the tree. That is the Jivatma. When there is cosmic manifestation, the Jivatma, or the individual soul, appears in the creation in different forms, according to his previous fruitive activities. And due to his long forgetfulness of real existence, he identifies himself with a particular form awarded to him by the laws of material nature. Right? So he's long forgot what his original form is. Right, as servant of Krishna, that. So now all he knows is what particular form he's in at this particular time. After assuming a material form, he is subjected to the three material modes of nature and acts accordingly to continue his existence in the material world. While he is enwrapped in such ignorance, his natural opulences become almost extinct. The opulences of the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, are not diminished. Although he appears within this material world, he maintains all opulences and perfections in full while keeping himself apart from all the tribulations of this world. The conditioned soul becomes enwrapped in the material world, whereas the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaves it without being affected, just as a snake sheds his skin. Right? The snake sheds the skin and just goes off. They're not worried about it. They want to roll it up, take it with them, or things like that. So also here it says, notice it says, the super soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he's the Supreme Lord. He's the one that's coming as super soul. Right? The distinction between the Supersoul and the conditioned individual soul is that the Supersoul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintains his natural opulences, known as Sadaishwarya, Astasiddhi, and Astaguna. Right? While we tend to lose kind of all those. It means we try to get them, but we're not necessarily always doing the greatest job of it. The eight mystic cities, you know, becoming smaller and the smallest, bigger than the biggest, and reaching your arm and poking the moon, you know, stuff like, important stuff like that. Eight gunas, I'm not sure what was the specific eight gunas here. Have you seen? Have you ever seen the eight gunas? No? Because there's different lists of different things, and so it'll be there somewhere. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, the Mayavadi philosophers forget the fact that Krishna is always full with six opulences, eight transcendental qualities, and eight kinds of perfections. Okay, here, the list is here. The six opulences are wealth, strength, beauty, fame, knowledge, and renunciation. No one is greater or equal to Krishna in these six opulences. The first of Krishna's eight transcendental qualities is that he's always untouched by the contamination of material existence. This is mentioned in the Ishopanishad. Apapa vidham. Just as the sun is never polluted by any contamination, the Supreme Lord is never polluted by any sinful activity. Although Krishna's actions may sometimes seem impious, He is never polluted by such actions. Right? So that's the difficulty we were saying before, is that when we see these differences in that, then we don't actually, because we don't see ourselves fully as the element of servant. We still think that we're master, we're still controller, and the quality of the secondary that you deal with defines then your actual position. Right? Because that defines our position, right? What you do defines what you are. Right? You do engineering work, you're an engineer. You do medical, you're a doctor. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what defines us. But the point is Krishna is who he is without definition. You can give names, but he already is what he is without doing those things. Even if he doesn't manifest them, he's still that. Right? So then the difficulty comes up is that we'll say, oh, Krishna's doing this, and you know, so that's immoral, that's improper. And so then, you know, how can that be devotional service? How is that good, or how is that nice? So we're not seeing the primary, we're seeing the secondary. So it's still on the material platform. Even though to us it seems very logical, to us it seems very important, but it will just be these elements these material qualities of dharma or artha. Right? It's not going to be going beyond that. So the point when we see Krishna as a person, that he's just doing them, it's his nature. So he's doing what is his nature. Right? So doing what is your nature, that's not a problem. Like dogs bark, it's not a problem. It's their nature. Right? So the same way, Krishna, he does what he does because of his nature. And his transcendental position is he's unaffected. It doesn't create any impurity. And we see in the devotees it creates great transcendental ecstasy. So there's no problem in it. Right? So that's why we have to understand he's God, so there may be some things he does that we can't do. You know, and that's why you have the examples of him having 16,108 palaces, and he's present in all of them simultaneously, doing different things. Is that so? Because of that, then you know, okay, we can't do that. You know, so you know that those activities aren't for us. But the principle that he's applying there, how he's being the perfect householder, that we can apply. But it's not about the secondary facilities. And the end, like, is that? So that aspect is that when we have that appreciation of the Supreme Lord's position, then we can tell the difference. Right? If we have that faith, we can tell the difference. Because if you don't have the faith, you cannot distinguish between the Lord and the Lord and the soul. Because you can't see the Lord. So you'll just judge the Lord on our position. So then it comes out to be material.
And this mysterious faith that we're talking about, we get it by association with devotees?
Yes. Starts. Yeah, that's where it starts. Because the position of faith comes up from associating with devotees.
And it grows also in association?
Yes. That's the whole process is associated with devotees. That's the actual whole process. Then in that association, then we chant, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, we will then associate properly with other devotees. We learn how to do that. We worship the deity. We live in the Dham.
Can we say then that the whole process is based on our faith in association with devotees and based on that?
Yes. It would say it's not that the whole process, because even we don't have faith by the association of devotees that they have faith in, then it will work. So you could say whether it's direct or indirect, it is faith in the association of devotees. You know, it's just like the devotees have faith in the devotional process, so they go out and, let's say, do some public program, like a Ratha Yatra. So they have faith, even though we don't, but we get the association, and by that association, then we get exposed to Krishna consciousness. Then in that association, then we develop that faith. Then we'll take up the association of devotees. So it's not that you move on from one to the other. Faith is there. Then first you're dealing with just faith. First you're dealing with association of devotees and, Agyata Supriti, right? Then that grows to the point where it becomes faith. Right? So then you have faith. And when you focus on devotees, it's faith and association of devotees. Then when Bhajana Kriya is faith, association of devotees, you're performing Bhajana Kriya in the association of devotees, right, with faith. then you become fixed. You become fixed in your devotional practice, in the association of devotees with faith. Then you get a taste for the holy name, you know, in your practices, in the association of devotees with, like that. That's what's going on. Is that? Yeah. The second transcendental quality is Krishna never dies. We definitely forgot that one. In Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, he informs Arjuna that he and Arjuna had many appearances in this material world, but that he alone remembers all such activities, past, present, and future. This means that he never dies. Forgetfulness is due to death. As we die, we change our bodies and forget. Right? And it's by Krishna's grace, because if you remembered, then that would be an annoyance. As long as you're going up, then you feel, yeah, but if you're going down, then, you know. Right? Does that make sense? You know, if you're an ant walking around in that big mansion that you used to live in, you know, that's not going to work out so good for you. But at least you know where the sugar's kept, so, you know, yeah. Krishna, however, is never forgetful. He can remember everything that has happened in the past. Krishna cannot be polluted by any sinful activity, right? Because sin means it's not connected to Krishna, so Krishna can't do anything not connected to himself. That's the point. He's God. He's perfect. Krishna never dies. Krishna never becomes old. Krishna is never subject to lamentation. Krishna is never hungry, and he's never thirsty. Whatever he desires is perfectly lawful, and whatever he decides cannot be changed by anyone. These are the eight transcendental qualities of Krishna. Okay, never dies. Okay, that's the second. He never becomes old is the third. Never subject to lamentation. Fourth, never is hungry. Fifth, never thirsty. Sixth, whatever he desires is lawful. Seventh, and whatever he decides cannot be changed by anyone. Eight. So that's why we don't necessarily know the Astagunas, because, yes. These are the eight transcendental qualities of Krishna. Besides that, Krishna is known as Yogeshvara. He has all the opulences or facilities of mystic powers, such as Anima Siddhi, the power to become smaller than the smallest, right? Because we're smaller than the smallest. We're the smallest of the smallest, but he can become smaller than the smallest, right? You know. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that Krishna has entered even within the atom. Andanta rasta panamanu chayanta rastam. Brahma Samhita 5:35. Otherwise, why does it work? Why does it move? Why would dead matter move unless Krishna's entered it? That's the whole point. Right? So that's why they always think that there's more there, because there's super soul. And under their microscope, they won't be able to see him unless they have, you know, faith. Then he may reveal himself. But otherwise, they're not going to see. Similarly, Krishna's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is within the gigantic universe. And he is lying in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu in a body so gigantic that when he exhales, millions and trillions of universes emanate from his body. Right? This whole universe. You know, and they don't remember the detail, but we were discussing when we were on fifth canto of the size, that if inside was a certain amount. Like, I think one time we calculated that if the inside was, let's say, an inch, or that's 2.5 centimeters, then basically the coverings would be from here to Krishnagar. Right? That's one side. Then, you know, it's in all directions. So it's make sure those yogis don't get out, right? You know? Pesky yogis, right? And so then, they're huge, right? Because inside is actually 4 billion miles, right? So that means 6 billion kilometers. That's what's inside. Half is water, so then we can count it's, you know, as 2 million or 3 million kilometers. But the width is still the same, because the water only is on the bottom half. Right? So that's what you're starting. Then you take that, then you go, keep going. Right? Right, because you have to remember is that we're dealing in what do you call it? Multiples of, but powers of 10. Right? You have 10. Then 10 times that, then 10 times that, and there's 7 coverings, right? So that means 10 to the 7. That's big, right? So if you start with, you know, how you say, 4 billion or six billion, whatever you want to do in whichever size you want to work with, then take that time to the seventh power.
1 crore, 10% 1 crore.
ten to the seven is 1 crore. Yeah? Yeah, so then that means a crore times, you know, 4 billion. Big, no? Yeah, so the point is, and these just come out of the pores of Mahavishnu. He's so big. And there's trillions of them. Millions and trillions. So it means basically millions of trillions. Because otherwise, you know, you just don't, you know, it's unlimited. You know, how many universes fit into 1/4 of unlimited? Right? It's a lot. This is called Mahima Siddhi, right? Bigger than the biggest. Krishna also has the perfection of Lagima. He can become the lightest. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that is because Krishna enters within this universe and within the atoms that all the planets are floating in the air. Otherwise, how are they floating? Because Krishna enters them. Right? That is the explanation of weightlessness. Krishna also has the perfection of prapti, so that's maybe why they like going to that weightless state, because then Krishna is there. He can... And he also has the perfection of prapti. He can get whatever he likes. Similarly, he has the faculty of ishita, controlling power. He is called the supreme controller, Parameshwara. In addition, Krishna can bring anyone under his influence. This is called vasita. In this way, Krishna is endowed with all opulences, transcendental qualities, and mystic powers. No ordinary living being can compare to him. Therefore, the Mayavadi's theory that the super soul and the individual soul are equal is only a misconception. The conclusion is, therefore, that Krishna is worshipable and that all other living entities are simply his servants. This understanding is called self-realization. Any other realization of oneself beyond this relationship of eternal servitorship to Krishna is impelled by Maya. It is said that the last snare of Maya is to dictate to the living entity to try to become equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So even they've given up all desire for fruit of action, then Maya catches them by that they think they become the Supreme Lord. Right? So in other words, she's always going to, house wins. It always wins. Right? Just, you know, if she doesn't get you on the roulette table, she'll get you over, you know, on the, you know, how you say, the poker table or something, or the one-armed bandits, you know. So she's going to catch you somewhere. The speculation that one is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is another symptom of sinful life, right? His actual piety is understanding our relationship with Krishna. One cannot take to Krishna consciousness unless one is completely freed from all sinful activities. The personified Vedas said that if the yogis and the jnanis do not free themselves from sinful desires, then their particular process of self-realization will never be successful. Right? That they may get some little advancements, but it can never actually be successful, because success means situating yourself at the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So even they say they merge into Brahman, how long will they be there? Right? So, not so long. The Shrutis continued. Members of the renounced order who fail to uproot the last traces of material desire in their hearts remain impure, and thus you do not allow them to understand you. Although you are present within their hearts, for them you are like a jewel worn around the neck of a man who is totally forgotten. It is there. O Lord, those who practice yoga only for sense gratification must suffer punishment both in this life and the next. From death, who will not release them, and from you, whose kingdom they cannot reach. Right? So, you have the punishment is there that they can't get free from the clutches of material nature. So the birth, death, old age, and disease are not getting rid of that. And they cannot attain the spiritual kingdom. Right? So if they don't take up devotional service, so if you've done it for sense gratification, you can't get past that. Even if you do it for liberation, then they'll get to something, but then they'll come back. Right? And the other aspect is the yoga system is not for sense gratification. It's meant for self-realization. So if we just use it for sense gratification, then it's also going to give a problem. Right? Then you become a pleasant and nice, peaceful animal instead of, you know, a more aggravated animal. Right? Yeah. The Shrutis continued. Members of the renounced... Oh, we just read that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Thus, in three verses, the fact that the house and material life takes away man's good qualities has been established. Right? So, we don't have to worry that it's just, you know, that one is involved in activities within the material world. Just the material world itself is the problem. So material life is the problem. So we've seen he's giving example of both the fruitive workers and the renunciates, right? That they're both involved in material life. Right, because it says, members of the renounced order who fail to uproot the last traces of material desire in their hearts remain impure. Right? So, it's just a matter, it's always there, unless you surrender to Krishna. Right? And give up the desire for it. So you have to give up the desire for the fruit of gain, in other words, nice situations, and you have to give up the desire for liberation, which means not being in bad situations. Does that make sense? So the attachment to not being in bad situations, those individuals are interested in liberation. And those who are attached to being in nice situations, they're attached to fruit of work.
Yes.
So the point is it's still the same thing, is they want a comfortable situation. The one is willing to work for it, you know, to gain it. The other is willing to work to get rid of it. You know, get rid of the bad. One is he's trying to overcome the bad and get the good, and the other is trying to get rid of the bad too. It's the same thing. It's just a matter of whether they're working within material facilities or not. But the same material consciousness is there.
We also desire to be in favorable situations for devotion service, so is that okay?
It means this, if it's connected to Krishna, then it's okay. Just like family life is connected to Krishna, there's not a problem. Or renounced life is connected to Krishna, is not a problem. It's the connection to Krishna that makes it perfect. It's the points that are not connected. That's the problem. So failing to uproot the last traces of material desire means that part's not connected to Krishna. So the more we connect to Krishna, the less problem we have.
Some devotees say that in the initial days, movement was very intense because we had less facilities. Now we have a lot of facilities, so people become...
Yeah, you know, it's just like in Calcutta, I had in, this was in 78. Yeah, to 80, I think. I had a single locker that all my stuff fit into, in a common room with all the other brahmacharis. That was 78. So then that means now is 88, 98, 2008, 2018. 40 years later, now the boys in Chaupati, they have in a common room a little locker that all their stuff has to fit in. And so that's been the whole problem all along. Right? In other words, why bring up a mundane concept? What does devotional service have to do with the mundane facilities? How is it improved? Because if that's the case, then Srinathji must have been, you know, a nitya siddha because of the amount of facility he had. Right? And then the poor old brahmacharis, then they're never going to make it in spiritual life because they have no facilities. And the fun part is here. Now here's another one, another comparison. Now, Radha Krishna Prabhu and his wife, right? Palika or whatever. You know? Yeah. They had a little apartment and that's all there was. And Radhanath Maharaj and him, they started the whole Chaupati Yatra right there in that apartment. And now after, you know, again, like how you say, 35, you know, 40 years like that. Now they own, you know, most all that stuff that's in that area. And so everyone has advanced in spiritual life because the facility has increased. But unfortunately, Radha Krishna and Palika Mataji have not made any spiritual advancement because they still have the exact same facility they had then. Their apartment hasn't changed at all. The exact same apartment. Right? And that, you know, that I don't know if he's still, I think he's not there anymore, but there used to be a Russian guy was living in Dubai in that Burj Al Arab, the 7-star hotel. Huge apartment. He had, I think, something like 5 Rolls Royces there and stuff like that. He just lived there, so he paid the rent, you know. So you're talking thousands and thousands a day. You know, we're talking, you know, dinars here. And dinars are more than a dollar, right? Okay? Does that make sense? And so, therefore, he must have been so Krishna conscious. I mean, that place is, I mean, literally, I forget what it was. It's something like, there's a huge amount of kilos and kilos and kilos of gold. Everything's gold leaf there. You know? It's all, yeah. So then they should be. And these sheikhs, they must be the most Krishna conscious. They're trillionaires. Not billionaires. They don't even worry about those. They'll invite them to their parties, but, you know, because there's no one else to invite. You know, so. You understand? So when is it that it was so austere, it was so this and that? No. Because did anybody mind? No. That's why they were Krishna conscious. And now, even though we have facility, we mind. We're not necessarily as Krishna conscious. So it's not that we're more Krishna conscious now than they were then. Okay? Does that make sense? Would it need surrender to go from your yatra, where you are, to a place where there is nobody and nothing? You know nobody. You have nothing. You have no money. No facilities. No place to stay. No contacts. But you go there. And you go there and just, you know, you figure it out and find some place to stay and like that. I remember when I met the devotees, they were staying in some hippie's house. They weren't staying in a hotel. It's just they were out doing Harinam and that and sitting there. And the hippies were asking, you know, what are you guys and that? And they told them, hey, is there any place we could stay and this and that? Oh, yeah, come on, stay at our place. Right? They go there, nobody, nothing. And then within a short time, then they, you know, from selling the books, getting people, getting places to stay, then they start a little program, this, that, and then at some point, then they get a place, and they start renting and everything, and then next thing you know, they have this monster temple. Okay? So is that, they were able to do that because they had all facilities? No, they had no facilities. So then, what did they have? Faith. Yeah, so then it's faith that makes it work. This idea that it's facilities that makes it work, that's a stumbling block. You can engage facilities and do nice service and engage people. The more facility, you can engage so many people. That's nice. But that devotional service depends on facility, that's a material concept. I mean, straight up mundane. So one has to go beyond this, that because we're professionals, that's why we're so successful. No, it's because you're intelligent, you would see the importance there, you apply yourself, you have that faith, and then by grace of Guru and Krishna, then all faculty comes. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's there. We have to know what's causing what. Bhakti is independent. Right? We're still reading a story about Prahlad Maharaj after, you know, how you say, a long time. And what facility did he have? you know, a dungeon full of snakes and all that. Or, well, he had a whole huge pot full of boiling oil that they tossed him into. I don't have a pot of that much oil. I mean, that much ghee I wouldn't even be able to use in 10 years. I mean, it's like, you know, where do you get the money for that? You know, is that why? You know, how many devotees have an elephant? Right? No. And so he had a whole bunch of elephants there trying to stomp on him. You know, come on. I mean, so is that why he was so advanced? Right? How many people have a pillar in their house? He had pillars in his house, big pillars. So we can't be so Krishna conscious like Prahlad Maharaj, because we don't have this monster pillar in our house that we can, you know, remember that, you know, the Lord is in the pillar. You understand? So that's why we have to be very, very careful. We can engage what we have. So they have facility, you use it. But if you don't, you use that. So Krishna conscious is not dependent upon that. Right? Otherwise, out of all those people that are there, then you'd have to say, you have some pretty often. Lakshmiji with Padasevana, she would be the richest of all them. And her position is that. Then you have Bali Maharaj, who has Atmani Veda in him. But then Ambarish, who's emperor of the whole world here, not at the, you know, the Indra position. No, he has a whole mandala also. So then he gets all the things like that. But let's say Sukadeva Goswami, he has nothing. You know, and Parikit Maharaj used to have something, but he hasn't anymore. You know, I think Akrura, you know, and he's got definitely something there. He's there, but he doesn't have the well-wishing of all the devotees of Braja. And so then his prayers, right? Like that. Who's deity worship?
Prithu.
Okay, he was emperor of the planet and all that. So if you're looking at it from that, it's like, yeah, most of them had money, so then that's why they were successful. So therefore, if you don't have any money, just stick to hearing and chanting like that. You know, Prahlad Maharaj also didn't really have anything, though. He eventually, but at the time, he didn't. So then hearing, chanting, and remembering, you can do that without money. But all the other ones, then you better have some money and be really rich. Right? Otherwise, don't even bother. Right? Good? Yeah. So you have to be very, very careful that bhakti is independent. The secondary is the medium to use, but it's not the thing that you're using. That it doesn't mean that the medium is the message. You understand? That they've just sold you on. Therefore, then you'll hire them. The medium is not the message. The message is the message. Right?
Medium is a way to express things.
Yeah, the medium is a way to express. And depending upon the message is just as valid whether you have a very fancy or not fancy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The sages who are mentioned in the verses are of two types, those worshipping the Nirguna Brahman, called Jnanis, and those worshipping the Saguna Brahman, called devotees or bhaktas. If they perform their practices properly, they both become successful. However, the results, if they behave badly, are explained in two verses, 38 and 39. Right? They will not reach. They cannot reach. So that's the whole point, is that when it's seen, it connects with the Lord. So then here is from, what is this? Oh, this is still from the purport. O Lord, if the sannyasis, worshippers of the Nirguna Brahman, do not uproot the roots of desire situated in the heart, the roots of desire, then you are hard to attain, though you are situated in their hearts. Why? Because you become like a forgotten jewel around their necks. Though the jewel is hanging around the neck, because a person forgets about it, it becomes as good as not being there. That is not all. Those yogis who try to satisfy their senses, who make a pretense of yoga, end up with suffering in this life and the next. So it's not even just that they don't attain, but those who then use the yoga process for sense gratification, then they suffer in this life and in the next. You don't even have to... See, here's an advantage. In other activities, you perform activities, sinful activities, and then you will suffer next life. There might be something this life, or may have an effect, shorten the lifetime and all that. But, you know, it's not as effective. But if you use the yoga system for sense gratification, then here you have an advantage. You can even start suffering in this life from the reactions to it. You don't even have to wait till next life. You know, see? So it's an advantage.
Quicker.
Yeah, it's quicker. Yeah, so all those people in the yoga studios, little do they know. So if you're talking about saving the most fallen, then yes, go to the yoga studio. That's why it works, right? Lord Chaitanya saves the most fallen first. Right? So before they were, you know, hippies, now they're in the yoga studio. Right? Like that. And so then but we're thinking, oh no, because they're more elevated, that's why they... No, it's because they're more fallen. Like that. Yes. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna.
This is like pointing out, don't be duplicitous.
Yeah, don't be duplicitous. No, whatever you do. But the point is that means you have the karmis, they're trying to elevate themselves. The jnanis are trying to elevate themselves. The yogis are trying to elevate. Now, it's already pointed out the weakness of the karma and the jnana, but it's also mentioned in yoga. So it puts more, because yoga has that, it's karma, and it may have that touch of jnana to it also. So if you've already covered karma and jnana, you've covered it, but just to make it clear, then it's brought out. So,
and there is roots of desires that has been told. Roots for desire and attachments to the desires.
Attachments to the principle, the root of the desire, means you have the desire as a specific thing. Just let's say, like... the root is let's say wealth, but the specific may be money, or real estate, or you know something. That's a detail. But the root is you know economic development. So when we see that economic development won't do anything for the soul, then you give up that desire. Then that's there. So we may give up the specifics that we're into, but sometimes we see we still get trouble because we haven't given up the root. Does that make sense? You know, let's say we give up. Is that understand? Yeah. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, "Dear Lord," the personified Vedas continue, "if saintly persons do not take care to eradicate completely the roots of sinful desires, they cannot experience the supersoul, although he is sitting side by side with the individual soul. Samadhi, or meditation, means that one has to find the supersoul within himself. One who is not free from sinful reactions cannot see the supersoul. If a person has a jeweled locket in his necklace, but forgets the jewel, it is almost as though he does not possess it. Similarly, if an individual soul meditates but does not actually perceive the presence of the supersoul within himself, his meditation is useless. Persons who have taken to the path of self-realization must therefore be very careful to avoid contamination by the influence of Maya. Srila Rupa Goswami says that a devotee should be completely free from all sorts of material desires. A devotee should not be affected by the results of karma and jnana. Right, the results, if they come good, he uses them Krishna service, they're not there, he then uses something else. Right, he gains knowledge or not, that it's just a matter of you use it in Krishna service. If it's not there, you're fine. You're not attached to the results of these two. Right, like that. One has to simply understand Krishna and carry out his desires. That is the pure devotional stage. Right, because then you've given up, because that's the main thing. Even if I've given up, let's say, like before, we said the attachment to economics, but then I'm in the neutral position. Where's the positive? Right, the positive I'm attached to, serving Krishna. So if I'm serving Krishna, then if I have money, I use it for Krishna. And if I don't have money, then that position I use for Krishna. Yeah. Mystic yogis who still have contaminated desires for sense gratification are never successful in their attempt, nor can they realize the supersoul within the individual self. As such, the so-called yogis and jnanis are simply wasting their time in different types of sense gratification, either by mental speculation or by exhibition of limited mystic powers, will never be liberated from the conditioned life and will continue to go through repeated births and deaths. Right, so that they're speculating and enjoy that, that's going to be an obstacle. Or that they get some abilities from their doing yoga, and then they're distracted by that, that will distract them from Krishna. Right? Because you do these things, you get so much benefit. But the point is we're still distracted, we're still attached. Because it's not about Krishna, right? We do that, okay, I do the yoga, my health is good, I feel good, I'm not sleepy, I, you know, have energy all day, I don't have to eat so much, I've lost weight, I've this, that, blah, you know, like this. But have we mentioned Krishna here?
Not yet.
No. And will we? Probably not.
Right? It should be positive.
Positive. Maybe one day. You know, the other side of that rainbow. They say at the end of the rainbow is the gold, and then at the other side, then that's, you know, even more. Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. So it's still sense gratification. Even though it may be more subtle, it may be more developed, more elevated, but it's still more developed within the material world. Right? It's not from the spiritual world. Okay. It will never be liberated from conditioned life and will continue to go through repeated births and death. For such persons, both this life and the next are sources of tribulation. Right? So here Prabhupada is taking the simple thing is that it's not going to solve the problem of birth and death, not that it's going to create anything more problems. Does that make sense? They're using these elevating processes of yoga and jnana, but because they're still attached to the idea I'm the controller and enjoyer, they will have to take birth again and again. Right? Such sinful persons are already suffering tribulation in this life. And because they are not perfect in self-realization, they will be plagued with further tribulation in the next life. Despite all endeavors to attain perfection, such yogis, contaminated by desires for sense gratification, will continue to suffer in this life and the next. So, depending on the degree of grossness of this sense gratification, that's where the suffering will be. Does that make sense? You know, physical will come on the physical, emotional, intellectual. Right, your identity, whatever these things that you're interested in, that's where the trouble will come. Right? Does that make sense? Where you make trouble is where you get your trouble back from. Right? So that's it.
Trouble in identity means?
Trouble in identity. If you think you're something special, then you'll get trouble for that.
Special trouble.
Special
trouble.
Yeah, special trouble. not this is not trouble just anybody gets. Only you get, because you're special. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks, you know, it's just like, you know, you're Bombay Walla and this and that, you're the big guy moving around, but when you go up to Delhi, they really couldn't care less. You're from Bombay? It's like, huh?
Identity crisis.
Yeah, so then, now you suffer. You go talk your Bombay, you know, Hindi in Delhi, and they don't even know what you're talking about. Like that. I mean, they saw the movie, but who talks like that? You know? Yeah. Heels. I say substantial problems. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that if sannyasis, persons in the renounced order of life, who have left their homes for self-realization, do not engage themselves in the devotional service of the Lord, but become attracted by philanthropic work, such as opening educational institutions, hospitals, or even monasteries, churches, or temples of demigods, they find only trouble from such engagements, not only in this life, but in the next. Right, so you're going to get your problem. It may be coming from a more septic platform, but it's still a problem. So someone in ignorance, then the troubles of ignorance give them trouble. But for them, the troubles of passion are lighter. Right? But they won't get that because they're in ignorance. But if you talk about, that's nice. Right? So then the person in passion, he gets the troubles that come from the mode of passion. Maybe more subtle than that of the mode of ignorance, but because he's in that more subtle position, the experience is the same. There's someone in the mode of goodness, same principle. They suffer just as much as the other person, not by volume, but by experience. This time you don't miss out.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh. So what will happen here? Sorry? That's right. Oh, okay. So then all those nice trees and that, then now the cows get them. Because that forest there is replanted. It just wasn't there. That looked like that. Except there were three mango trees. Okay, so now we have a nice place for the cows. Yes. Oh, I mean, if they have to put up buildings, yeah, don't have to do, but if it's just a place for the cows to be, then they can do that. Okay, cool. Where were we? What were we talking about?
What about a devotee, neophyte devotee?
A neophyte devotee.
Who is also hankering for sense gratification.
He's hankering for sense gratification.
And what is type of suffering he gets?
What kind of suffering does he get? You want to know something very specific.
Like basically,
like he opens his box of delivered Domino pizza and finds only 7 slices instead of the full 8. Or, even worse, all 8 are there, but when he opens the box, all the cheese is on the lid and not on the pizza. Should I go on?
When one is going from karma to jnana and yoga, yoga person is getting the maximum. So what about
yoga is getting the maximum.
Yoga person who is anchoring for sense gratification, he gets maximum suffering.
No, he doesn't get. He gets it in his area. Because all these are yogas.
Yes.
The whole point is you have karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Mm. Now we call them that because we're connecting to Krishna, because that's the actual yoga. They're only trying to connect to their concept of the supreme or benefit they get, but they're trying to do that for the enjoyment they'll get. So whether it's going to the heavenly planets, whether it's Brahmananda, whether it's the mystic siddhis,
yes.
So they're still all going to get that.
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. So, that's the point. Yeah? So, whatever you're attached to, that thing itself will give you trouble. Does that make sense? Like, if you're attached to your spot in the temple veranda where you sleep,
yes.
Then you will suffer. Right? Why? Because someone else was you went to the bathroom and then went and got your bed. Well, someone else got his bed, then went to the bathroom. So when you come back, he's in your spot. You suffer. He's happy. You're distressed.
It happens.
Yes. That's why I gave the example. Or your spot, and then something goes wrong, and then that fan breaks. Or your spot's the perfect spot, but then there's a bit of a storm, and then the rain comes in onto the veranda, and you get wet. Well, the guy against the wall, or in the temple room, he doesn't get wet.
Yesterday, my bad experience.
Yes. The Calcutta veranda is very famous. One time, one devotee woke up. Do you still have those big monster DC fans, or they've converted to AC? On the veranda, there were these fans on these super long poles that were big, huge, fat, the old DC fans.
Only Prabhupada room has now.
Okay, before those on the veranda, one day one devotee woke up in the morning, and when he woke up, you know, he moved his arm, there was something in the way. And when he sat up to look, it was one of those fans. It had landed right next to his head.
Wow.
Krishna protects the devotees. Like I say, that devotee was going to Badrinath in the bus. So he was in the back, and they have the windows open. The seats are high, so it was right next to the window. And he fell asleep, as devotees will. And then when he woke up, he was in a tree. Literally in a tree. And he's looking around, how'd they get in the tree? And I was in the bus, and he's looking up there, he looks up, there's the road. He's in the tree in the side, you know, just below the road. And then he looks down, and there for hundreds of feet down, there's the bus. So Krishna protected him. He fell out of the bus when it went off the road and landed in the tree.
His sleep didn't get
disturbed. No, he woke up in the tree.
Wow.
We're talking a devotee here. Karmis, they would have been woken up. But devotee, no. Krishna protects them. You know, even in sleep, it's like that devotee. It's not uncommon. The devotees, they'll be sleeping, so they stand up, and then they fall over and hit the ground, and some of them don't wake up. You know, and then after a while, then they wake up. Krishna's very kind, takes care of it. He says he protects what you have and you know, how you say, preserves what you have and makes up for what you lack. So.
Recently in one center there was a pressure cooker blast. So pressure built up and the nozzle was not coming out. It blasted. So it was becoming, sound was coming. So with Kunti went and opened. It broke. And it blasted, the top lid went and hit, all the dal went spread over everywhere, and whatever on the roof, everything fell down, big vessels. So, but devotee didn't hurt anyway, and everyone from the apartment, everyone came to see him, what happened. So whole, nothing was visible, everything is with dal and fumes, but he was just standing. Okay, Kunti broke into two pieces and everything was down, all whatever was, all the vessels. But his laptop was protected and he was protected.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Yeah. Even if he got hurt, but his laptop was protected. That's the important.
Laptop, Kirtan was going on.
Oh, Kirtan was going on, yeah.
Laptop
so,
and
yeah, yeah.
Then nothing.
So that's the whole thing. Play Kirtan on your laptop. You wonder why your laptop crashes? Because you're not playing Kirtan. Nice. See, Krishna
whole
takes
building
care.
Shook, actually.
Yeah. No, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So, the experience of suffering or happiness is the same in every.
It's all in proportion. It's the same. It's not the volume. Like someone in the mode of goodness, the amount of happiness he gets compared to the stuff, they're always balanced. So he's happy over more simple, more subtle things. But therefore, the distress is also subtle.
Yes.
But what I'm meaning is that his experience will be the same. So the Brahmin who has very little things and, you know, his household life, he'll feel the same suffering as the person in passion or ignorance. That's why it's universal. Everyone can relate to that point. Like that. If you look at the externals, then you'll see, oh, it's not great suffering. But to him it is, because this realm he works in is very small. They're always balanced. How much you suffer and how much you enjoy. So some of the ego goes more one way, it goes more the other way. But it's always the same. Like that. So the whole point is that when we surrender to Krishna, that's then when we get actually the positive. We break out of this. So this happiness and distress doesn't bother us. In the position. And it's ideal is if you work yourself into the mode of goodness, then what you're dealing with is also small. So when you look at it with intelligence, it's not a big deal to give up. But if you're looking at passion, that's a lot to give up. But if you come to the transcendental position, then any of it can be given up. But that's why the practice, it's easier to give up smaller things. And if you have a less amount of things, it's easier to give up than a lot of things. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the practice, just to take you in that direction. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premadi.